Dear friends in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we use His Word with confidence and hope today, knowing that it is the inspired and unchangeable Word of God. This past week, our family reached a point we cross each year around this time. It's not anything to do with the Christmas season. It's not about lights or presents or Christmas trees or ornaments. No, what we did this past week was about a different holiday. We tossed out our Halloween candy. Much to the dismay of Mike and Allie, I'm not sure Lucas knew exactly what was going on, but much to their dismay, it was just time. It had come. It was a reminder to me how quickly things change in life. One day you're carving pumpkins, you're making the last minute preparations on your Halloween costume, you're going around in your neighborhood and gathering candy, and a little bit more than a month later, it's all gone. The pumpkins are rotted, the Halloween costumes are donated back to Goodwill or stowed away for another year, and the candy is thrown out. It's the inevitability of time. As soon as a season arrives, just as quickly it's gone. No matter how we try or the ways that we attempt to numb ourselves to the inevitability of time, you can't do anything about it. But don't we try? We try to numb our senses to the impending change by giving ourselves constant attraction in our lives. Distraction, really, to keep us focused from what's really going on. Especially around Christmas time, many people try to numb themselves to the inevitability of change through materialism, by focusing so much on giving and getting things of the world to try to fill in that void of my heart that I know is there. We extend a great deal of energy and effort to do this. Oftentimes we feel a pressing guilt if our plans are not met in the way we want them to. But why? As important as Christmas is, it's like everything else in life. It comes and goes. As elusive and uncompromising as time is, the Bible tells us exactly what we need to know to handle it. Since the very beginning of the world, since the first entrance of sin into that world, the passage of time, the inevitability of change, has always been linked to decay and corruption. And so, we throw our pumpkins out. We throw our candy out. The Christmas toys that we get break and fall apart. The feasts that we consume expire. Happy times, even with friends and family, eventually subside back to the daily grind of everyday life. Scripture tells us that the change we witness in the world around us is a result of the overall decay and expiration date of this very world. The clock is ticking, even on the universe around us. And the harshest reality for us, the thing that we don't want to admit, is that that change applies to our lives as well, even to our own bodies. Yes, we are subject to the most devastating change of all, the greatest inevitability in the world, death itself. For these reasons, our hope as Christians is not in the world around us, not even in our own bodies. And how needed is that message and that reminder even around this time of year? The thing about God is that He doesn't avoid this topic in His Word. He knows by nature we don't want to talk about it, but He does. Hebrews chapter 1 says, "In the beginning, Lord, You laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of Your hands, but they will perish. They will all wear out like a garment. You will roll them up like a robe, like a garment that will be changed. But You remain the same." We even talk about this fact in our most cherished hymns, in our hymnal. Hymn 123, our God, our help in ages past. Verse 6 says, time like an ever-rolling stream bears all its sons away. They fly forgotten as a dream, dies at the opening day. Hymn 552, abide with me. Verse 2 says, swift to its close ebbs out life's little day. Earth's joys grow dim, its glories pass away. Change and decay in all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me. This morning we look at another portion of God's word that talks about change. But ultimately its reminder to us is that the one who does not change is on our side. And that fact is true in our lives because of the one who came in our place, because of Jesus the Messiah born for us. We read our sermon text today from the Old Testament prophet Malachi, chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord, whom you seek, will suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant to the Lord, as in the days of old, as in former years. And I will come near you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against sorcerers, against adulterers, against perjurers, against those who exploit wage earners and widows and orphans, and against those who turn away an alien because they do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord. I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. The lead up to the birth of our Savior in the Old Testament was very much like life today. Time moved on. Constant change through time. In fact, one of the reasons that so many people missed the birth of Jesus Christ, they missed who he was, is because they weren't expecting it anymore. It took too long in their minds. The promise of a Savior had first been given to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Think of the thousands of years that had transpired up to the point that Jesus was finally born. Sadly for many people, that was just too long. They forgot the promise. They didn't want to wait anymore. The inevitability of time and change caused them to forget what God had promised. The impatient human mind likes to think that way, doesn't it? My mind likes to think that if someone so important as the Savior of the world, as God's own Son, if he is that important, he's got to come right away. In fact, he's got to come now. He's got to come in my life because I'm important enough. But God had a different plan. God waited to fulfill that promise. Paul told the Galatians the fullness of the time when that had come, when God said it was right, Jesus was born. And so, because of the passage of time, many things changed along the way. The words of God's messenger Malachi today talked about another messenger who was to come, John the Baptist. And they're filled with thoughts of change. The ministry that John the Baptist would bring in would bring a time of change. The Savior who would be born, that John talked about, would be a Savior of change. But before we get to those points, we jump to the very end. In the very last verse of our text, despite all the change that we witness in our lives, despite all the change that Jesus would bring, there is one thing that is different than all of that. The Lord says, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed. Amidst all the inevitable change in the world around us, there is one constant, God. He does not change. Hebrews 13:5 said similarly, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is the first inexpressible inevitability of the Son of God, It's about consistency, not change. And this is why we jump to the end of our text first, because we need to get this point clear in our minds before we understand the others. God is someone you can rely on. God promises you that despite the chaos of your life, despite the havoc that sin has brought upon the world around us, He does not change. He is your source of stability. And the blessed result of that is what God promises. You are not consumed. That word indicates the expiration of something. To be consumed is to reach the point where you come to your end. And don't we all have that as mortal individuals? It's the result of having lived out your value. And we might say that that inevitability is the result of the change and decay of the passage of time in our lives. We eventually reach a point where we will wear out, just like that garment that the writer of the Hebrews used to describe the world around us. We are like that too in our own bodies. James wrote in his letter about that. He said, "Be careful about making plans in your life about what you're going to buy and what you're going to sell and what you're going to eat and what you're going to drink." Because James says this, "What is your life? It is but a vapor that appears for a little while and vanishes away." That's the impact of the inevitability of time on our lives. And we hate to hear that message. We don't want to be consumed. We don't want our lives to reach an end point. We want to continue on forever. Sometimes we want that for selfish reasons. Sometimes we want to live forever so that we can have more happiness and pleasure and fulfillment in terms of this world. But sometimes we want that for the right reason too. Because we know in our hearts, God created our lives with value. God put a price and a value on our lives with the death of His own Son. God says that life is good. Death is the foreign agent. Death is what the world resists. The change and decay around us is a twisted reality of what it should be. And we know it. But what can we do when time moves on? The first great truth is that God does not change. He does not succumb to the decay of the world. He is above it. He is different than we are. And the beauty of it is that God doesn't just sit there in the heavens idle. God comes and helps us. God promises that because He does not change, you are not consumed. And that reality is that even you, in your body, will triumph over death one day. The second point is this. Since God does not change, His word is faithful. The first truth is about who God is. We might call it God's nature. It's a good truth. It's a principle worth knowing, but we struggle to understand, what does it mean in my life? I know that God does not change. I know that He's powerful and loving, but He's not before me today. So what does it mean? For some people, the truth of God is nothing more than an academic fact. It has no value for them. That changes with the second inevitability, that God's word is faithful. It's the word of God that He uses to step into our lives, to come down to us, to tell us what He says and what He promises. It is true that God is unapproachable by sinful humans. We cannot stand in the presence of God because He is holy and righteous, but He comes to us in His word so that we can have a relationship with Him. God steps out of heaven and into our world. And isn't that how it was described when Jesus was born on this earth? John said in chapter 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." God's nature, as unchangeable, as perfect and almighty and righteous, is inseparably connected to the faithfulness of His Word. If we cannot trust God's Word, then that casts doubt on His very nature and who He is. God might as well be a dictator and a tyrant if we can't trust His Word, because that makes Him down on our level. Malachi speaks of the faithfulness of God's Word in the prophecies that would be fulfilled. He was making promises hundreds of years before Jesus was born about who that Savior would be. And so through the very fulfillment of Malachi's prophecy before us today, we have living proof that God's Word is faithful. And how does Malachi describe the work of Jesus? He's like a refiner who will cleanse us. The idea there is somebody who comes to a dirty garment and scrubs out the filthiness so that it is pure and clean again. That's what Jesus does for us. That's what Malachi promised. And that's what God delivered through the birth of His Son. A passage like Isaiah 1:18 comes to mind as well. "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool." It's the fulfilled work of Jesus that makes this a reality in our lives. He has washed our sins away. He has cleansed the filthiness of our hearts by the blood that He shed on the cross for us. And because of that, we can say today with confidence, God's Word is faithful. God's Word is true. When God steps down from His throne and enters my life today, He doesn't come as a child born in Bethlehem, but He comes as the Word made flesh. The last point centers on how Jesus cleanses us from our sin. And it's really where we get the inexpressible part of the inevitability of our Savior. You might think, inexpressible? How could that be the case? Because we've been talking about it all morning. How could it be inexpressible when we're sharing truths about Jesus Christ? But it's easy for us Christians to understand in theory that God is almighty, that God is loving, that God is merciful, that God sent His Son to us. What makes it difficult is when we contemplate how. Yes, God tells me these things are true, but how did Jesus make it happen? How did He do what I could not do on my own? That's what makes it tough in our lives. And come back to the very beginning. God is unchangeable. This unchangeable God, this holy God, He chose to come down to earth and be born like us. He chose, as contradictory as it sounds, to be changed. Malachi says that Jesus would come suddenly to His temple. That meant coming to earth. That meant being born. That meant living among us and stepping in our place. How could an unchangeable God do such a thing? God should not have had to do that. God should not have had to subject Himself to the world around us, to be born like us, to fulfill the law that was required of our lives. God does not change in that way. This is truly the inexpressible part of the work of Jesus on our behalf, because as contradictory as it sounds and as unfathomable as it is in our minds, that's what Jesus did for you. The eternal Almighty God took on a body. He walked on the same legs. He served with the same hands. He thought with the same mind. He felt with the same heart. The same blood flowed through His body and was shed on your behalf. But how could it be? God does not change. The truly inexpressible part of all this is that Jesus did this for you because He loved you. And all the time while He was doing this here on earth, the 33 years that He lived, He did it in such a way that He did not violate the immutable law and will of God. That's really the most amazing miracle of the birth of Jesus Christ, is how he could do such a thing, how he could cleanse us in the one way that we needed. Think about the other religions of the world. They talk about union between God and man, right? The Greek myths, they talk about the gods coming down and interacting with humankind. All the religions of the world have some sort of way that God interacts with mankind, but it's only Jesus who can come down and be true God and true man. Only Jesus can still be the God who does not change. And the Son of Man crucified on the cross. That's the perfect union of our Messiah as true man and true God. And because of it, we have the promise that we are not consumed. We have the promise that just as Jesus had that perfect union and harmony between humanity and deity, so also by faith in him, we will have a perfect harmony with God. Yes, in our bodies, in heaven. Talk about an inexpressible truth. This is where we try to teach the faith of our Savior Jesus Christ and what he did for us. But can't you see where human words fall short of fully expressing what he did on our behalf? Yet more important than getting every detail down in our minds, and more important than me being able to explain it to you today, is the blessed fact that just as Jesus is inexpressible, he is inevitable. Even more than time, even more than change, even more than decay, even more than sin, even more than death, Jesus is the end-all and be-all. God should not have changed as he did. He should not have had to do that. We can't explain how it was possible. But what we can say, and what I can assure you of today with 100% certainty, is that Jesus would not let sin and death have the final word. Above all, he is the greatest inevitability in heaven and earth. The result is that we are not consumed. Death may take something from us here and now. Sickness, disease, evil, wickedness, it may do something to my body now. But with Job, we confess, I know that my Redeemer lives. And he shall stand at last on the earth, and after my skin and flesh is destroyed, I will look upon God. Jesus, the greatest inevitability. And the result is that we have a perfect union and harmony with God. We have that blessed promise and assurance that God does not change, that his word is faithful, and that Jesus cleanses us from all decay. Thanks be to God for this gift, this Christmas season. And even though time will move on, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Please rise.